heard of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hadestown triumphing at this year's Tony Awards. The Broadway musical winning 8 last night, including Best New Musical and Best Performance by a Feature Actor in a Musical. That went to actor Andre DeShields, the 73-year-old picking up his first Tony Award in an over 50-year career.
Baltimore, Maryland, are you in the house? Because I am making good on my promise that I would come to New York and become someone you'd be proud to call your native son.
Ollie Stroker picking up Best Performance by a Featured Actress in a Musical for Oklahoma, making her the first wheelchair-using performer to ever win a Tony. The Ferryman picked up Best New Play and several other awards. As for what was tops at the cinemas in America this weekend, here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Point me in the direction of any animal who needs my help and stand back.
The Secret Life of Pets 2, featuring the voices of Kevin Hart, Harrison Ford, and Tiffany Haddish. It's tops at the box office with $47 million, coming in at number 2, Dark Phoenix at $33 million. Disney's remake of Aladdin coming in at number 3 with $24 million. Godzilla, King of Monsters, at number 4 with $15 million.
Rocket Man coming in next. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he doesn't expect that Mexican lawmakers would vote against the new deal reached with the United States concerning immigration, but he tweets this morning that if that approval doesn't happen, he will impose those tariffs he'd threatened to put on Mexican goods. Counselor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, says...
And they're starting to take enforcement at their southern border seriously. This is important to both countries. We now have Mexico doing more than the Democrats who work behind me on Capitol Hill on securing our southern border.
She spoke on Fox News. The deal has Mexico sending thousands of its troops to its southern border to stop Central American migrants from working their way towards the U.S. Former Red Sox superstar David Ortiz shot in the back at a bar in his hometown in the Dominican Republic yesterday by a man who was chased down by a crowd and arrested. Doctors say Ortiz is expected to recover. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Mics one and two. We are on. All right, everyone. We're a little bit late getting started, but I think we've finally figured out.
Mastered our technical difficulties.
Mastered the technical
Maybe.
Difficulty.
My,
Maybe.
My mic is going to keep doing this the whole time.
Oh, you're going to hold it.
So.
With that, you know, so today we decided, or I was talking to some students on Thursday or Friday, and just kind of talking about government and how things work. They're high school students from Del Barton. And I realized that as we're doing these shows, we're talking about issues, but not necessarily explaining how government works.
Right.
So we've not explained the municipal government role in all of the stuff that we're working on.
Yeah, and I think just for anyone who happens to be listening, you don't have to be a high school student to not have any idea how municipal government works.
Absolutely.
And there's no shame in that. It's not something that one would necessarily know without actively seeking out the information.
Right. So. Well, we assume that everyone understands it because we're doing it every single
day.
Every
day, all day.
And
yeah.
When someone asks the question, it's like, oh, well, maybe you don't all know. So.
Exactly.
Neil, let's talk a little bit about how, you know, municipal government works. And again, we can speak to New Jersey. We can speak to Clinton. We can't speak to how other states work. That being said, so New Jersey is what we call a home rule state.
Right.
There are 565.
It's just going to go up.
She's got the floating
time.
Mic.
Sorry. I am also outside of the screen. We're a mess today.
You need to come move your chair closer.
I'm coming in. You keep talking.
All right. So New Jersey has 565 municipalities, and not every town is run the same way. We all don't have the same form of government. In the town of Clinton, we have what we call an old city council form of government, which is a mayor and council. The mayor is directly elected by the people, as are the council members. They're not at large. They're not based on districts. It is everyone is an at large. We all have an equal vote in on council, and in some cases the mayor does not vote unless there's a tie. In some cases the mayor doesn't participate in their government council meetings. They run the day-to-day. So in our aspect, what happens is as the mayor, I will set up the agenda. In most cases, we work via committee. So three council members will serve on either buildings and grounds or the roads committee, the water committee, the sewer committee. And that group then makes recommendations to council.
Right. All the fun and sexy things about how your town functions.
Exactly.
Is really what we do. So just, I don't want to interrupt you. But
no, that's fine.
Just to back up in terms of, I don't know if anyone can hear me. I'll check my mic in a minute. But to back up in terms of what the purpose, I think, maybe we'll, once we get through that, we'll talk a little bit about what the purpose even of municipal government is, because I think some people don't necessarily even know why we exist,
why the county exists,
right.
If there's a state government.
Exactly. What's the purpose? Because we say we're a home rule state, but people go, well, okay.
Great. What does that mean?
What does that even mean? We're big government nerds, so we obviously know what that means.
And what's interesting is, so home rule has, you would assume that means you have complete control of your community, which to an extent you do. However, you are legislated by state statute. State statute will determine what you can do in your home rule municipality.
Right. So there are so many nuances to it. So obviously we're not going to get through everything in an hour.
Oh, God, no.
Also,
we'll be here for a long time.
Bore you to death at some point because we'll get real in the weeds with, you know, what we do.
Right.
But so I interrupted your flow. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You were talking about how committees work. And how, you know, what made me think of it is when people come to our council meetings, they go, well, I have no idea what's going on because you're just voting on things.
Right.
And you're not really talking about a lot of stuff. And the reason for that is what you just said, which is we do most of our work, the meat and potatoes of what we do is mostly done in committee, and then that's brought to the council.
Right. So it really comes down, and what's really nice about the way we work is part of this there has to be a trust factor, because you have three people. You may not be one of those three people on that particular committee who are making recommendations. So you have to believe that everyone is doing everything for the right reason. And I think what we've really, you know, Clinton is unique in a lot of respects because there is a lot of trust.
Absolutely.
You know, and questions are asked, and it's not a matter of you can't ask the questions. You know, if we had to do everything through the whole group, we would be in meetings all day, every day.
Well, and if anyone thinks about, you know, trying to actually get things done, when you're working in committee, you're trying to build consensus and accomplish a task. So
right.
Working in a committee of seven versus working in a committee of three, you know, it's just, it's one way to speed up the process of municipal government, which everyone complains about how slow municipal government is, because, you know,
right.
You could imagine how much slower it might be were we working in a committee of seven versus a committee of three.
Yes.
It would be impossible.
And it is. I mean, there's a lot of technical knowledge that you have to have as you're sitting, especially when you're dealing with either the water company or the sewer company, roads, buildings,
Absolutely.
And grounds. You know, those are all – there's something that's got to be done, and you're going to have a professional come in. So you need to do your homework. And if we had to do our homework on everything,
oh, yeah.
It would be
a full-time paid position.
Yes. It would be. Well, it's still kind of a full-time paid.
It's a full-time
unpaid
volunteer position.
Yes, it is a full-time volunteer position.
That I love.
And we absolutely, well, you have to.
Yeah,
because it really is, you know, this is about a passion. This is an avocation, not a vocation.
Exactly. But we're getting off topic.
We are.
I haven't, as anyone who's watching our live feed, you can see, I haven't gotten through my second cup of coffee today.
So. I've had the two, so I'm good to go. But anyway, so, you know, kind of talking about how different municipal governments work. So as I said, we have what is Old City Council. It is a strong mayor and council representation. Everyone has an equal vote. The mayor does make most of the appointments as far as to the different committee assignments, as well as volunteers that want to come in and get involved
right.
and engage. Usually what I will do is all of that stuff I also bring to full council so that everyone is seeing who is being nominated for a position on a committee, because it makes it easier to understand who all the players are and who really wants to be a part of what we do.
Yeah, so for certain committees that we have community volunteers involved.
Right.
So not all of the committees, because it just wouldn't make sense. But
right.
for things like our historical commission, for instance.
Environmental commission.
An Economic Development Committee.
Land Use Board.
That all engages with the community. And what's great about that is that it expands our reach out into the community and our ability to understand kind of different voices, different perspectives from
right.
within the community, which is yeah. always beneficial in my perspective.
Yeah, and it's important. I mean,
yeah.
you're making decisions, and not everyone gets to go to council meetings or
exactly.
participate. So this is a way that they have their voice heard.
Plus, you know, you find out you have experts in your town. You have a
yes.
person who works in, who's an arborist, who just happens to, that's their profession. So it would be great to have them on the tree,
yes.
tree commission, you know. So everyone has their skill sets, and people willing to volunteer that sort of time to their community is a wonderful thing.
It is, and it's important. You
yeah.
know, it's, again, you know, going to the whatever your passion is and whether or not you have an interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Clinton operates, you know, and that is it in a really tight nutshell. Again, you have questions, you can find us through Facebook.
Yeah, I'll just check. Do we have anyone checking?
No one's checking
not
in yet.
Yet.
So if you have questions, let us know. Other forms of government. So there are some towns that have a township committee form of government. I'll use Bethlehem Township as an example. Because Paul Muir, who is the mayor right now, was also with me when I met with the students. He brought the students in. You know, we were trying to give multiple perspectives. So, excuse me. They have five township committee people, and the mayor is actually rotated. It can be the same person, but they vote amongst themselves, amongst the five township committee people. Some cases, it's three township committee people, and they rotate the mayor's role. In Paul's case, I think he's been mayor now almost as long as I've been mayor.
Is it that long?
Yeah, close to it.
Okay.
If it's not that long, it is definitely a number of years. And what
I
that
mean it like that, by the way.
I know.
No, I got to see the look I got. Sorry.
That's okay. Feels like only yesterday.
Of course.
Not 8 years.
Yeah.
Other townships or towns who also have that form of government rotate the mayor every year. You know, there's a benefit to it because you get a different perspective each year. The drawback is, how I see it, is that you don't have any consistency. So if you have conflict amongst your township committee members, you know, if one person is the mayor this year, the next year a different person is mayor, and they're, what they're looking to do is in direct conflict to what had been done previously, you know, does it tie up and get things kind of mired in muck?
You kind of wind up, you can wind up with a yo-yo effect of, you kind of get things started and then they stall out and start and stall out.
Right.
You know, so, but then on the flip side of that, of course, you can wind up having new ideas consistently
Absolutely.
Rotated through. So, as with anything, there's pros and cons to all of it.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends on kind of your town, how it's set up, and also the needs of your town. Clinton is unique in that it is a town center, and so mm-hmm. it wouldn't make a lot of sense for us because we wind up negotiating with a lot of people for different things, for different improvements, for different
right.
situations. And so if we had constantly changing figures, people involved in that, that lots of things just would not get done. And
it would make it that much harder.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to go to our first commercial break, and we will be back to continue this conversation.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we are back again. Hopefully you all, we forgot to live stream, so apologize
for that. I've hit the button.
We hit the button, so we're on now.
We think we are anyway.
We hope we're on.
We seem to be frozen in a lovely position.
Oh, yes. There you go. So much fun. But anyway, so, you know, we talked about the township committee form of government where they rotate the role of mayor. We talked about our form of government, which is directly elected. There is another form of township committee, which is township committee also with a council president and the mayor directly elected.
Right.
You have the mayor and council, which has a, like I said, a weak mayor where the mayor only votes in the case of a tie.
Right.
They may run the meetings, they may set the agenda, but the actual voting only takes place in the case of if they need to break a tie. And then you have towns, or really in our cities, like Newark, Perth Amboy, Camden, Jersey City, Hoboken, that sort, where it is the council has the meetings. There's a council president that runs the actual council meetings, and the mayor is the day-to-day administrator, so to speak.
Right.
And they don't necessarily – they participate in the meetings as needed, but they don't actually sit in the meeting and host it. They are more of the executive branch, and then the council would be the legislative branch.
Right. But then – so the factor on top of that whole layer of sort of administration, of mm-hmm. course, is – the county government.
Yes.
And the state government. So, you know, you have to kind of, so we're what's called, as Janice said, a home rule state. So in theory, the town is in charge of the town and
right.
what happens in the town is up to the town. But as with, you know, if you think about state versus federal law, as you think about kind of how that works together, it's similar in how municipal government mm-hmm. works in relation to county government and state level government.
Right. Absolutely. So, and counties are actually even different too. So in some cases there is a county administrator mm-hmm. who is hired by the Board of Freeholders. In other counties, there is the county executive who is directly elected
right.
and the freeholders wind up kind of similar to a strong mayor and council. The county executive does a lot of the work, and the freeholders would be the legislative aspect of the county. So counties have that option. In Hunterdon County, we have a county administrator. I'm having fun watching Riley with the microphone.
Flashbacks to AV Club in high school or something like
that. That's right. You know, in Hunterdon County, we have a county administrator who is hired by the county freeholder board. The county freeholder board sets the agenda and sets the direction for county initiatives. And obviously, the county is responsible for, you know, the county parks, county roads, and oversight in that respect.
Right.
Then, of course, you've got the state government, which really establishes the rules that municipalities and counties follow.
A lot of regulations,
yes.
right? So a lot of things from administrative capacity, like DEP,
yes.
Health and Human Services, that kind of those kinds of departments. Sorry,
right.
the word was escaping me.
Code enforcement. So while you may have a code enforcement individual in your municipality, they indirectly work for the Department of Community Affairs,
right?
Because that's where all of those licenses are actually issued from.
Right. So while maybe you live in a community where you want to develop some piece of property, you have to be aware of all of the various rules and regulations that come from the state that affect your ability to develop that piece of property.
Right.
So, you know, from land use rules and regulations to water quality regulations to stormwater regulations. There's all kinds of regulations.
And then to local ordinances that drive,
exactly.
you know, what how a town is looking. So here's the other piece of it. So towns establish through the municipal land use law, which I encourage everyone to read it at least once. That's kind of the guidelines. And then towns have what we call either a zoning board or a planning board, or in our case, we have a joint, which is the land use board. So a planning board will look at applications if a developer or a person comes in and wants to make a change that is allowed by the town ordinance. They want to put an addition on their house. They want to add an addition in their on their building. They want to change from a restaurant to a retail. As long as all of that is allowed within our ordinances, then that comes before the planning board. Planning board will vote on it based on, you know, recommendations, if need be, from professionals. The zoning board, which is a quasi-judicial board, it is. That one has members on it who are not elected officials at all. And what they're doing is looking at an application, and if this, an example would be, someone wants to put a building on a piece of property, but the building, based on what our ordinances say, you need a, you know, side yard setback of 15 feet. The building they want to put creates a zero side yard setback. That would require a variance, in which case they would have to come in and make the case why it's appropriate for the town to grant the variance. And that would be the zoning board aspect. When you have a combined board, so the mayor and one council member will sit on the planning board. When you have a combined board, it is, I would have to recuse, as well as the other council member would have to recuse from anything that was considered a variance request, a zoning board application. So we would just either not show up for that part of the meeting, or we would, if it would, that was the only meeting, we just wouldn't be there, because that has to, we have to be separate from that.
Right.
So that's kind of land use in a really tight nutshell. Now, there's a county planning board as well.
Right.
Because there are some projects that need to go before the county planning board.
What would typically, I don't actually even know what would wind up before the county planning.
So within the county park system.
Anything within the park system.
Within the park system, within county, any county-owned properties, if it's impacted by that. In some cases, you know, towns may not, you know, they may not have enough members, so they could potentially push it to, especially if, you know, a small community, all of the members are within, you know, because you can't, so here's the other piece of it. Everyone, when you're making applications, people in the surrounding vicinity within 200 feet get notified.
Right.
So, you know, if you're within that notification, then you obviously have to recuse yourself. In some cases in small towns, you know, they may wind up pushing that over to...
Yeah, yeah. So the downside of having so many municipalities in this state is that you kind of wind up in that scenario for a lot of different things, not just land use purposes, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, all sorts of things you wind up having to kind of... sort of weave your way in and out of those sorts of scenarios.
Right. So you know, we talked about marijuana at our first show.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, so if a town on our border chooses to opt out of having any sort of, you know, cannabis facilities, whether it be a retail or wholesale or grow, we then have to, if they're on our border, we also would then have to exempt 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet.
Within our property line, because it would be considered drug free.
Yeah. So it's going to, so one of the, I might get myself into trouble here, but one of the rubs between municipal government and the state legislature is that sometimes it appears that the state legislature forgets how small some municipalities are.
Yes.
And so when you pass these kinds of rules and regulations that are 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, or that, you know, are sort of all-encompassing bans on something or all-encompassing regulations covering, you know, a particular thing, it can impact small towns tremendously and have a huge administrative cost. It can have a very negative effect on the economy of a town. And so, you know, I would encourage everyone who has opinions on these kinds of things or feelings about them or thoughts to reach out to your state legislators and remind them that, you know, that they work for us and that it's their job to pay attention to how this legislation will actually impact the municipalities, not just the overarching kind of concept and ideal of the legislation, but the actual
implementation
impact on the town and whether it's going to have an economic impact, an administrative impact, or a physical impact, or all three, you know, that needs to be accounted for. And I think in a lot of cases is not. And I don't know that it's, you know, I don't know that people are addressing that currently.
I think what happens is the issue is raised as far as whatever the legislation tends to be. And in concept, there are most times they're great ideas.
Absolutely.
And they're important. But the, to your point, it's the implementation.
Yes. Yep.
How do you translate the idea into actually making something happen? And then what is the impact to a community once you've made that decision? Because once the law is signed, getting it fixed can be so difficult.
It's brutal.
We have to go to our news break, and then Riley and I are going to switch seats so that she can do the controls from here. So hang on.
Yeah.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he doesn't expect that Mexican lawmakers would vote against the new deal reached with the United States concerning immigration. But he tweets this morning that if that approval doesn't happen, he will impose those tariffs he threatened to put on Mexican goods. Counselor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, says...
And they're starting to take enforcement at their southern border seriously. This is important to both countries. We now have Mexico doing more than the Democrats who work behind me on Capitol Hill on securing our southern border.
She spoke on Fox News. The deal has Mexico sending thousands of its troops to its southern border to stop Central American migrants from working their way towards the U.S. Former Red Sox superstar David Ortiz shot in the back at a bar in his hometown in the Dominican Republic yesterday by a man who was chased down by a crowd and arrested. Doctors say Ortiz is expected to recover. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Okay, so hopefully I did that right, and we're back on.
We're back on. We should be back on. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So we usually say this at the beginning, but I think we forgot to. If anyone has questions for us, feel free to throw them on the live stream, or you can always reach out to us via email. Most of you have our phone numbers. They're all over the internet at this point.
Yes, they know how to find us. Well, we actually did tell them to send us live stream, but we didn't live stream. We weren't live streaming
at
the time.
We forgot to hit go live. That's right.
That little technical glitch.
Exactly.
Every once in a while.
Exactly. So, the biggest misconception, I think, about municipal government that I've heard, especially when running for office in the first place, when knocking on doors and talking to folks, is... what do we actually do day to day? Like, what is municipal government about?
Right.
And I think, people don't really know what the point of it is. And so it's tremendously unsexy work, right?
It is.
It's making sure your roads don't fall into sinkholes. And if they do fall into sinkholes, fixing the sinkholes.
Yes. Immediately.
Right, exactly. And, working within your community to make sure that it's functioning in the way that it needs to be. So
right.
That means maintaining roads. It means making sure if you're in a community with utilities, making sure the utilities are working from water and sewer perspective.
Garbage is getting picked up.
It's dealing with transitions, right? We'll address that head on. We've been dealing with a transition from one garbage hauler to the next, and we had some bumps.
That was through no fault. The transition was because the company that we were using sold to another company.
Exactly. And so, but the point I want to make about that is that your municipal government at work is us, and particularly our mayor, sitting on the phone and calling and calling and calling and going, where are you? Why aren't you picking up the garbage? Pick up the garbage.
Right.
And for a variety of reasons. One, it's people pay taxes. They want their garbage picked up. That's not unreasonable. Two, we have bears, right? No one wants a bear in their front yard eating their garbage.
Right.
Or their cats,
Right. Or anything. Right. Obviously, you definitely need to address it. The issue becomes, we've made ourselves accessible.
Yes.
Which... I have no complaints about that. I'd much rather address the issue as soon as it becomes an issue rather than waiting two weeks where someone has now, it's festered and it's become,
absolutely,
they become angry. And then you wind up having people at council meetings who are yelling and screaming.
Absolutely.
If we can address it head on. And yes, we did have some bumps with the garbage pickup for the last couple of weeks. I'm hoping, and the manager has promised that they have worked through the bumps. In fact, they actually flew people in from right. other areas to help address the backlog of what had happened. And in addition, so the other piece of it was, is not only did we have a change in trash hauler, but there was an issue with the transfer station,
right.
and there was a backup at the transfer station, which then delayed getting picked up on Tuesday.
Right. Well, and so the other thing is, you never think about it, right? Somebody comes and picks up your garbage and it's gone. But
right.
but what really happens is somebody has to have the capacity to pick up your garbage, and then the manpower to put it in a truck, and then the truck power to deliver it to a transfer station, and the transfer station has to have the capacity to take it.
Right.
So there's so many steps and layers to all of these things that, you know, it's hard to keep that in mind, because all of us want to go to Amazon Prime and click buy, right? And then it's on your doorstep. So a drone drops it off for you, and you have your shoes, and off you go to work. But sometimes it's helpful, I think. And one of the things that being in municipal government has reminded me, and I think it's a really good thing for somebody as impatient as I am, is that you've got to remember the steps that there are and the people that are involved in the process. And so we are always available and open. And, you know, one of the things that I said when I ran for office is transparency is key to me. This is a huge part of the trust factor of your government, right. is being as transparent as possible. And so if you live in a community and it's not transparent, then it's within your rights to demand that. That's normal. That's what democracy is about, understanding how your government works. So that's why we're talking about this today, right? Is to help you understand what your government actually does and what it doesn't do. So there are lots of things we can't do.
Correct.
You know, from council.
Yes.
Like, fix your federal taxes. We cannot do anything
cannot
about
do
that
anything.
For you.
Sorry. We can't fix potholes on major highways.
Nope. And especially in the town of Clinton, folks, we have roads from multiple different
county, state, and federal.
Right. So there's places that we actually just are not allowed to touch.
Right.
Right. So.
But that, what in those cases, you know, we work with the state entities or the
yep.
county entities to ensure that stuff gets taken care of, or at
right.
least it gets on the radar, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll use the example we had when we had the issue with the traffic light at exit 15.
Yes.
We had those storms, power outages. All of a sudden, the traffic light at exit 15, people were backing up either way. The light wasn't changing.
Yeah.
It was not pretty for 3 days.
No, it was a mess.
So as soon as we realized that there was an issue, you know, we addressed it with DOT. DOT was out the next day
mm-hmm.
and had all of the lights realigned.
Right.
It was 3 days of pain, but they addressed it immediately because they understood that, yes, all right, the light's not changing for some reason. People aren't able to move.
Yeah.
We need to fix it, especially when you have people backing up on 78.
Yeah, which at that particular exit is a major, major issue.
Right.
So, but I think, you know, I think getting a better understanding of how your municipal government works is always good, because then you know where your tax money is going, right?
Right.
It's always nice to know what your money is going to and why you're spending it and where it's going and what it's being used for. So ask the questions, go to your council meetings, talk to people. There's no magic to it. There's no reason to be afraid or embarrassed or uncomfortable. And
right.
I always like getting questions. I will say we always get nervous when somebody comes to a council meeting.
Okay.
Because it doesn't happen very often. And, you know, you wonder, is somebody coming here to yell at us? Which is fine, too. That's our job, is to be.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I always looked at it this way, and this is how I've always kind of reminded everyone. It's not us personally. It's frustration
yeah.
with an issue that you want to get addressed.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we're there for. We're there to help kind of facilitate those conversations. And in some cases, we can't do anything, and
yep.
we will exhaust all avenues. I mean, there's probably no bigger pain to the governor's office sometimes than me. You know, we've gone through a couple of different liaisons, and each time they introduce themselves, I'm like, thank you, I now have your number. And I'm not afraid to use it. I'm not afraid
yeah.
to call. Because it's important to make sure that our voice, for as small as our voice is heard at the state level.
Absolutely. Because that also goes back to the earlier conversation we were having about legislation being passed at the
right.
state level. They need to understand that, you know, what they do impacts communities. And sometimes it's hard to remember that. And we're there to remind them.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. So we're going to take, well, we have a few more minutes.
We have a few more minutes. So just to kind of touch on that, you talked about the property taxes. You know, this is a reminder to everyone. The town collects your entire property tax bill. Mm. In the town of Clinton, 25% plus or minus a few stays in the town of Clinton. 60% goes to the schools, and the other 15% goes to the county. So while you may be paying quite a bit of money, just remember that only 25% or so is actually being used to provide all the services that the town provides. In other towns, it's a little bit different, you know, the percentages, because, you know, we have garbage pickup included in our taxes. You know, we don't pay for that separate. So for some people, you know, it's hard to understand how that's done. But in Clinton, 60% of your tax bill goes to the two schools, both to the Clinton Public and to the high school district.
North Hunterdon and Voorhees district.
Right.
That's right. Maybe when we come back from this next commercial, we'll touch a little bit about how the separation of school boards and
I think that's a good idea.
Towns functions.
Our roles versus their roles.
Yeah, I think that's a little confusing to folks as well.
It definitely is. Okay.
How that happens. All right, so we'll take a quick commercial and then we'll come back and talk about
that. Sounds good.
All right.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, so we're back. And as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about school board
separation
from the municipal government.
Right.
So do you want to talk a little bit about how kind of budgeting works and how all of that plays together?
So the school board with the superintendent will set their budget, same way mayor and council sets their budget. Usually the mayor gets invited into the school board to, you know, understand what the budget is. I usually sit down with the superintendent. because our school is Clinton Public and Town of Clinton and Glen Gardner. Usually it's the mayor of Glen Gardner and myself will sit down with the superintendent. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of lay out what their budget is, what the projects are, and they're under the same 2% cap that we are.
Right.
They have that same, if in order for them to go over the cap, they have to take it to the voters.
So just so everyone knows, there's a state mandated 2% cap on increases to the municipal budget and
the school board budgets
annually.
Yes. And that gets confusing, too, because people will tell you that your taxes have gone up more than 2%. There are certain items that are outside that are considered cap exceptions. And a lot of that is outside of anyone's control.
Right.
So, but the goal of the 2% cap was to curtail crazy spending in municipalities. So, you know, curtailing someone making, you know, 10% salary increases or putting crazy line items in. And not to say that towns did it, but I'm sure that there were some that padded budgets and put money in that they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So what this does is kind of helps you manage, same way you do in your own personal finances, you manage within what you can spend.
Yeah.
Not more than that. So both towns and schools are doing that. Now, we don't get any updates from the high school. The high school just kind of, they put their budget out there again. As long as they're under the 2%, they don't have to go to a vote. The board, so the mayor and council has no accountability or responsibility for school districts.
Or influence over,
correct. That is, school boards are managed by those elected to sit on the school board.
Right.
They have complete responsibility.
Just to be clear, school board officials are elected.
Yes.
They're on your ballots. You'll see them if you've never paid attention. If you're a voter who only votes for top line officials, then you may not have seen them before. But if you go to vote in November, you'll notice on the bottom of your ballot, you'll see that there are school board candidates running for office. Those
yes.
are elected officials, just like municipal officials or any other elected office. So
right.
They're accountable to their representative or their constituents, which are, you know.
Same as us.
Right. Exactly.
And what's interesting, so school boards used to have their elections in May. And you used to vote for the budget in May.
Right.
So you used to have to vote for the budget and you used to have to vote for them in May. Obviously, turnout was never very high because unless you're paying close attention to what's going on at the school board, you're not really doing any of it.
Yeah.
So you're not coming out to vote. And so the elections cost the municipality money.
Administratively,
yeah. for us to run the election. So there was state statute, I forget how many years ago, where they put the school budgets under the 2% cap, which means you wouldn't have to go to vote, and then they moved the school board elections to November along with all the rest of municipal elections as well as municipal, state, and federal.
Right.
It obviously saves the municipality money and keeps more people engaged in the process as it relates to the schools.
Exactly. And, you know, I should say that school board elections are nonpartisan.
Correct.
So they could technically happen during primary, although we have closed primaries in New Jersey, so that would be challenging. But there, so you, just to clarify for anyone who's concerned about it, if you look at your ballot, you'll see they're not on a party line because they're nonpartisan, and that's not a bad thing. Schools are not, schools should not be politicized. It's just it's a school, and we're talking about education here. So, I think it's something just to bear in mind when you're voting to look down the ballot and just see and make sure you vote for people you think will do a good job at budgeting and at setting policy and procedure for your schools, for your kids' schools, for your grandkids' schools, future kids' schools, whoever.
So. No, it is. It's important. You don't think about it, especially if you don't have kids in the school system.
Yeah.
You know, for me, with kids in the school system, Riley, you've got your daughter. Eventually, your son will be there.
Yep.
It is. It's so important to be a part of that process as well. And, you know, we may be elected officials, but that doesn't stop us from participating as parents.
Absolutely.
Or as residents of the community. Because obviously, you know, we want to make sure that policies that are appropriate.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, listen, I want to be careful. That's not to say that the work that's being done is not You know, I think Clinton Public, definitely we are lucky in a lot of respects.
Yes.
We've got an amazing administration there.
Yep.
Cares about the students.
Absolutely.
I think the board members are also in that same kind of vein. And we do work closely with them. We try to include them in when there's things that are going on in town.
Yeah, and we did the town hall there.
We did the town hall with the students. Yep.
Really remarkable questions for us.
For seventh and eighth graders, yeah.
That were surprising
to
me. I don't think I would have asked such smart questions in seventh or eighth grade, so
right.
I was really excited to see that. But, you know, just to get back to the earlier point of how does their budgeting process work, so as you were saying, 60% of your taxes in Clinton go to the schools. I don't know what the breakdown is between
I don't remember what it
CPS
is off the top of my head.
And the high school district, but that's the vast majority of the money your
right.
you know
your property tax
of your
bill.
Property tax bill. So understanding how that money is being spent is probably worth your while.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I would encourage people to pay attention to and to be involved with and to, you know, to really dig into and
right.
be a partner with. Which is not to say I think it's not being spent wisely. I think it is.
Absolutely.
And I think that is borne out in our kids' education.
Right.
And part of why I live in the town of Clinton.
Exactly.
And I'm willing to pay our taxes.
Right. That's why I moved back.
Exactly. So, but it's just something that you should be aware of. And when you come to a council meeting and you go, oh my gosh, why am I paying so much in taxes? And we say, well,
right.
you know, you like to have garbage and recycling picked up and you like to have good schools. That's why. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And so it's a lot to think about and bear in mind, but you know, as we say every time, send us your questions. We're always willing to answer, you know, as much as we can. And if we don't have the answer, we'll go and find it for you.
Right.
And come back, circle back, if we can remember to
yes.
do it.
Just keep reminding us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
But
we're still okay. We got like five minutes.
Five more minutes. Okay. So that's your school budget process. What else can we tell them about municipal government?
So here's the other thing that's really – we talked about – I mentioned home rule before. You know, one of the reasons taxes are high in New Jersey is because you have so many of everything. You have
yep. –
you know, you're 21 counties, but in those 21 counties, you have 565 municipalities and about 600 school districts.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, taxes are – and this is by no means – saying that, you know, it needs to be, there needs to be consolidation. I think when I look at it, my thoughts would be everyone gets to keep their school buildings, and maybe there's a kind of how do we move forward with administration
yeah.
over the schools? You know, do we need 600 superintendents? I mean, that's kind of the question out there, and no disrespect to any superintendent, you know, I think our superintendent is one of the best I've ever worked with.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, where does it become unmanageable?
Yeah, and I will say our superintendent is also our principal.
Yes.
So
he has a dual role.
You know, I think it's important to think about how can you fill roles, more than one role with one person in some areas where that is feasible. It may not be feasible in all areas.
Right.
And there may be locations where school consolidation makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There may be. I don't know. This is not my field of expertise, so I would never say that I know the answer to
right.
it. All I can do is say I can see there's an issue.
Yes.
And it should be addressed. I don't know that... like all things, and I keep saying this over and over today, that there's a blanket solution. I don't think there's
That's
a blanket
the key.
Solution to anything.
Yes.
And so it has to be intelligently and deliberately with intentionality considered and thought through, and then some sort of reasonable process come to in
right.
order to resolve the issue. Because, yeah, we all pay too much in taxes. Nobody wants to pay that much in taxes. But we all want good schools and high property values. So we have to find a reasonable solution to that. And I think, like I just said, that requires some intentional deliberation amongst parties who understand these things better than I do,
right.
certainly, and can find solutions that make sense for each location, not just
right.
this is what we're going to do across a state as geographically, economically, you know, everything diverse as New Jersey. I mean, right. there's not...
That's the biggest thing is that, there, to your point, it cannot be a blanket. I mean, we... And this is my message to the legislators all the time. It's you need to understand who you're dealing with and the area.
Yeah.
You know, we're all... New Jersey's probably one of the most diverse states.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we have so much diversity of geography, of population, of types of government means that we really need to look at this and do the work that needs to be done. I mean, you can't fix 100 years worth of mistakes overnight.
No, not at all.
But if we at least start the process, I think, or at least start the conversation so that people can understand what's happening.
Right.
I think that goes a long way towards this is what we need to do next.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we'll be back. Well, I'll be back next week. You'll be on vacation.
I will be away. Yes.
Lucky for you. I'm very excited.
I'll miss everyone. I'll think of you all on Monday.
No, I hope you don't. I hope you have the best time. But I'll be back next week with a special guest, hopefully, and we'll be talking to you. So send us any questions you have in the meantime. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's threats of tariffs on Mexico have blown over for now as the two nations have reached a deal on immigration. But now, President Trump says, if the Chinese President Xi Jinping doesn't show up to an upcoming G20 summit and sit down with him to talk trade, there could be yet more tariffs on Chinese goods.
I think the differences can be worked out very easily. I would be surprised if he didn't go. I think he's going. I haven't heard that he's not. We're expected to meet. And if we do, that's fine. And if we don't, that's fine.
The president speaking after phoning in to CNBC's Squawk Box this morning. As part of a new budget deal in California, low-income illegal immigrant adults will have access to Medi-Cal, the state's Medicaid program, allowing 90,000 illegal immigrants to receive benefits at the taxpayer's expense. This is USA Radio News.
Hi. I'm Captain Obvious, and every day, thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
A crane collapsed onto a building and parking garage, leaving one person dead and several others hurt in Dallas. That crane falling on top of the building during a storm yesterday that had 80-mile-an-hour winds. Officials do believe everyone now is accounted for. This man lives in the apartment building.
Seemed unreal, like, at the time to, like, see that, because you drive through that thing every day. You see it every day the way it is, and then... I mean, to be in there, it looked like something that you see on the news, like from a scene of war. Like, the destruction was just insane.
Longtime Boston Red Sox superstar David Ortiz recovering from emergency surgery after he was shot in the back yesterday at a bar in his native Dominican Republic. A crowd chasing down a suspect who was arrested. Authorities are still on the lookout, though, for a second suspect. The 43-year-old Ortiz now in stable condition and out of danger, according to his doctors. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The acting head of the Department of Homeland Security is now pushing back against claims that that deal with Mexico reached over the weekend is actually nothing new. Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleenan telling Fox News Sunday most of it's new. He says Mexico has agreed to commit over 10 times more officers to increase border security and help contain the flow of asylum seekers into the United States. Now, many details of the agreement have not been made public, but McAleenan says the progress goes beyond similar announcements made by then-Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen earlier this year, as well as late last year. The New York Times had claimed that most of the deal that was announced back on Saturday was nothing new. President Trump also tweeting that the Times was absolutely wrong, calling it the failing New York Times and, again, fake news.